Sean Patrick Maloney is the congressman from New York's 18th district. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, welcome back. We are so glad to have you.
Always great to be with you, Alan.
Let's go. Let me ask you the first question. Joe Biden, how's he doing? He picked Kamala Harris. How's she doing? What do you make of the efforts so far? Do you have any criticism?
Look, I think he's doing great. I really do. And as Joe Biden likes to say, don't judge him against the almighty, judge him against the alternative. And if you're talking about the way they handled this unprecedented situation of trying to have a convention and a pandemic of the vice presidential pick, boy, I thought it reminded me of what it looks like when a president or a presidential contender, you know, pursues a professional, discreet, straightforward approach to things, and I found it to be a breath of fresh air. I think Kamala Harris is an excellent pick for vice president. She's smart. She's experienced. She's historic. I think it's awesome. And I think the vice president has been doing a great job to unify the Democratic Party by engaging in meaningful policy discussions with people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders to find areas where we can all develop policies that help the American people have better health care, have a cleaner climate, a sustainable climate economy, to have real social justice in this country, reforms in policing, you know, good jobs, national testing, the pandemic, area after area. We are united as Democrats. And I think more importantly, with all the challenges facing our country, I think what Joe Biden offers is a chance to repair the damage, heal some of these wounds, and build our country back better and forward in a way that we can all believe in again, and that just takes the temperature down on this partisanship and this division that is bedeviling us when we have real challenges that we have to face together.
What do you expect to see in the debate between Trump and Biden?
Well, I mean, if it's anything like, you know, the president's recent public appearances, I think the vice president is going to do very well. I think President Trump has been strangely weak in his responses to straightforward questions about the pandemic. We still don't have a national strategy. We still don't have, 7 months in, we still don't have testing where it should be. Results are taking too long. We do not have the kind of production of things like N95 masks that every American should be wearing right now, let alone a mask mandate to make it clear how critical that is. We need to have confidence in the vaccine development and have scientists in front of that. So I think all of those issues are front and center, and I think the vice president has a real plan on it. And in the debate, he'll have an opportunity to set those plans before the American public. I think he's going to do just fine. If you go back and look at the debates Joe Biden had with, say, Paul Ryan or others, more often than not, he cleaned the other guy's clock. So I think if I were on the Trump team, I'd be more worried. And I think they're making a mistake to set expectations that somehow Joe Biden can't do a debate. He sure as hell can. And I think the president better go back and do his homework.
Can Biden stand up to bullying? I mean, clearly Trump is and has been a bully. He did it with Hillary Clinton.
You know,
please go ahead.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. But I got to tell you, one of the things I love about Joe Biden is how resilient he is and how he has a longer view. I mean, you're talking about someone who was elected to the U.S. Senate when he was 29 years old and immediately lost his wife and his infant child in a horrific car accident and had to pick up the pieces and move forward. You're talking about someone who just a few years ago lost, you know, his adult son Beau to cancer and to go through that and to find a way to continue to have purpose and to make a contribution. Joe Biden's been through a lot. He remembers struggling as a kid when his family was really hard off economically in northeastern Pennsylvania. I mean, this is a guy who's been through the ringer in life and who has a smile on his face and good things in his heart for the country. I don't think, I don't think he is going to take the bait when someone is acting like a bully or trying to be small or engaging in name calling. I think you'll see him act like a president. And I think what the American public desperately, desperately needs is an American president. Again, someone who believes they are here to represent everyone, to see the long game, to try to lead people up instead of leading people down, to bring out the best in us instead of indulging in these small, bitter and personal attacks. I think there are millions of Americans who may not even realize how much we are missing having an adult in the room in the Oval Office. And I hope that's who Joe Biden conveys when he enters these debates.
You know, the president keeps referring to things that are really anti-constitution, things like a third term for himself and saying all of that stuff. What if he comes to and says, this is a rigged election, I'm not leaving. And he's sort of given some fuel to that fire. What should happen in that case?
That is why I am so focused on the corruption at the Department of Justice and the intelligence community. And I'd be really concerned if it were happening at the Pentagon, because ultimately it is the rule of law, the United States military, the professional office corps, our intelligence agencies, who need to be above politics in that moment. And you know what else? Republican leaders need to find their voice. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, state Republican leaders need to say, we are going to believe and trust and follow the will of the American public in a free and fair election, even if it takes a little while to get the full results because of mail-in voting in states like Pennsylvania and elsewhere. The temptation to denigrate the process for political gain is dangerous, and I don't want any help. I just want to win it fair and square, and the other guys need to think the same way. And if Donald Trump loses this thing, it's going to be absolutely critical that Republican leaders say we lost, and we're going to respect the will of the American public. And Democrats need to be on their A game, because this election is not over on November 3rd. This election is not over until Joe Biden puts his hand on the Bible if we win it. And I do not trust this administration to engage in the historic and traditional and sacred transition of power in a peaceful and cooperative way. And that is truly unfortunate. But I'll be darned if the Democrats are asleep at the switch when these guys are using Bill Barr or some other tactics to try to call into question the results of the election or stop the counting or invalidate ballots that should be counted. Unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves.
You have an opponent, of course, in this election, Shel Farley. What's the major case for deserving another term for you?
Well, look, I've always said the same thing, which is that I get a 2-year contract and it's on me to come back to the people I represent and say, here's what I've done with the 2 years you gave me. You know, I've passed dozens of bipartisan bills through the Congress on things like helping our veterans, on improving infrastructure, on keeping oil barge anchorages off the Hudson Valley. I'm about to pass a permanent ban on oil barge anchorages between Yonkers and Kingston. I wrote that. Used my position as chair of the Coast Guard subcommittee to write it into the National Defense Authorization Act, and that will keep oil barges off that stretch of the Hudson River forever. I'm the guy that is supporting the Purple Heart Hall of Honor in Orange County with congressional recognition and millions of dollars in aid. You know, I'm the guy that has a seat on the infrastructure committee that I'm going to use to get us better train service, better roads, better bridges, better broadband. And you can look at my record, and I am proud of that record on fighting for lower prescription drug costs and protecting the Affordable Care Act and protecting folks who have pre-existing conditions. And my opponent wants to take the other side on all that stuff and stand with the president. I'm gonna agree with the president on things like the Iran, the strike on Soleimani or the peace deal we got with UAE and Israel. You know, I'm more than willing to work with the president where I think he's right. But I'm also going to stick up for the people of the Hudson Valley. I think I've got a record that people can look at. I'm proud of it. And that's the case. The case is, you know, I'm doing the job, and I like this work, and I got more capacity to do good things for folks on clean drinking water, on getting our local water supplies tested, on making sure that we clean up PFAS and PFOS in drinking supplies, on all the issues that I hear about. I'm in a better position than ever to get results, and I've been getting results. And that's why I say to people, and you know, look, it's a competitive seat. People have other choices, so I don't take it for granted. But I love the work I'm doing. I want to keep doing it.
And we love the fact that you've spent some time with us today in this hectic time. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. We so appreciate your coming back and keeping in touch with us, and we look forward to the next time you do it.
You bet, and stay safe, everybody.